need to have the Holy Spirit in us. We cannot function without the Holy Spirit, guys. We cannot do it no more. And if you're trying to do it on your own strength, guys, it's not going to work anymore. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to direct your family, to direct your wife, your children, your job. You need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. When Jesus left, He said, "I will send you a comforter to guide and direct you." But until that day, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You know, many times when we pray, "Heavenly Father, thank you." We remember our Holy Spirit. We do. We know what He's all about. You know, He makes a lot of decisions for us. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you have ministries right now in your heart that God's been tugging away at you, saying, "It's time to step out in faith. It's time to step out in faith and go and serve in that ministry." Wherever it might be, whatever it might be, pushing a broom, teaching a Bible study, teaching little children at church, whatever it might be, and it might be in the mission field, far, far away, away from family and friends. But that's where God wants you. Start praying. Start allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Turn around, hug somebody. Tell them you love them, man.
All right, you
want to
sit down, Danny?
I'm okay.
You want to stand?
Lift this up, yeah. I'll be okay. That's it. That's good right there. Good.
Okay, let me get this set up for you.
No, yeah.
Before you get comfortable on the reading, is that about right?
Yeah, I'm okay there. Okay.
Just the right height?
Mm-hmm.
Not done blocking you?
You're okay. You know, I was just at a men's retreat up in Twin Peaks. And it was really neat up there. It was like 350 men. As I got to share there, I remember another brother came to share. A lot of you don't know him. Pancho Juarez, you know? You know? And man, that guy. That guy's anointed. Anointed by Jackie Gleason, anointed by, you know, that guy's got some, he'll have you rolling up and down. But man, God has a new message in his heart too. And as we were sharing with the men with different groups and different classes they were able to take, there was a class as a purity, you know, pornography that's going around in the church. You know, you guys got computers, you turn it on, you know you won't get caught. But guess who's watching? Mama? No, Mama's not watching. Mama's at work, or Mama's in the shower while you're taking a peek. Your kids that 5 months old? Maybe. But God's watching. God's watching everything we do, guys. Everything we do. 9 months ago, God got a hold of me. And He broke my heart. He changed my heart. I was a hypocrite. I was a liar. I would be preaching at churches, men's retreats, men's breakfasts, telling people how much I love my wife, but yet go home and not show her the respect that she deserved. I was a jerk. And I've been saved many years and been preaching many years. And now I know why. Things weren't breaking loose in the ministry that I know that God has blessed me with. I had to be honest with myself. I had to say, I can't do this no more. I can't lie to myself. I got to be honest. One day my wife was washing laundry in the garage. And she has Parkinson's. And she has another disease called dystonia, where it keeps her head down. And when her head's down, she could never lift it up. I mean, we could lift it up, but it just goes right back down. She did something in the garage. And I said, "What are you doing?" Not that calm, though, with a louder voice. And here's a sick woman trying to wash my clothes. I go back to my room. A 17-year-old boy of mine, son that loves the Lord with all his heart, asked if he could talk to me outside. And I said, "Oh my God." You know, the first thing I thought, his girlfriend's pregnant. I that's almost the worst thing I could think. He's a 4.6 student at school. He's a top honor rolls. He's got a girlfriend that's going to church now with him. But that's the, I don't know why I thought that. But guess what? With his shivering, you know, his lips were shivering. He goes, "Dad, I heard you raise your voice to Mom in the garage." He goes, "Dad, she's sick. Give her a chance, Dad, please. Give her a chance." And then he goes, "Dad, I'm not mad at you. I love you, Dad, but it hurt me." Then he started crying. If I wasn't a man that didn't know the Lord, or even knowing the Lord, guys, I thought of saying, "You punk, who are you telling me?" But no, it never came out of my mouth. What came out of my mouth was, "Forgive me, son. Forgive me, Tyler. I'm sorry. I am sorry." I hugged him. I cried with him. Guys, there's nothing wrong when your kids tell you, "Shape up." And I hugged him and I said, "Don't ever have fear of coming to tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Don't ever. And I love you for what you did. You have courage." And he's only 5'7", 135 pounds, 145 pounds. I went inside, grabbed my wife, got on my knees. Took me a long time to get up, though, with my back, but got on my knees in front of both of my boys. Very humbling, very embarrassing, very ashamed. Grabbed her hand, and my boys thought I was going to do something weird, like ask her to get married again. You know, they really thought that. But I asked her to forgive me for all my faults. Forgive me for my mouth being, voice being raised too high and not able to focus on your illness and be patient and calm, knowing that Jesus is going to take care of all this. Guys, we got to change our hearts. We got to change our hearts. Some of you here are playing church. You're playing church. You're fooling me. You're fooling your leader at the home. You're fooling your wife. You're fooling your children. But you're not fooling God. And it'll go so far. It'll go so far. That's God's grace. Go so far, and then all of a sudden, bam. God says, "I can't let it go no more. I can't let it go no more." It'll be revealed, guys. It will be revealed. How can I preach about loving your wife and caring for your wife? And then every time at a church I'm preaching that, and maybe 400, 500, 600 people I'm preaching that, and I look at my wife and her head goes down. So I preach the other way. So I don't have to look at her and I don't have to feel convicted. But guess what? I got immune to that. I was able to do it and look at her still and feel, "Oh, I'm cool. It's okay." But then God had to shake me up through my son and say, "It's not okay. And it's time you confess." And I confess to a church of 8,000 people that I've been wrong. And some might say, "Well, you didn't go back to drugs, or you didn't drink, or you didn't do this or that." You know, I did something probably worse.